Firearm deaths in Wisconsin have risen every year since at least 2018. That's according to a new report by the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort.
In Milwaukee last month, Mayor Cavalier Johnson made a plea to state and federal lawmakers to help stop the gun violence in his city.
Do something. Show that you care about these kids who are sitting over here, whose neighborhood is shut down because some idiot with a firearm decided to open fire in an apartment building where I presume kids probably live. Right? We need to do something.
That shooting incident left police officers and the suspect injured.
Now we learn about a new report that examines lethal gun violence in our state and compares data to neighboring states. Nick Matuszewski is director of policy and program at the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Educational Fund. Nick, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Your report shows total firearm deaths have risen in Wisconsin every year since at least 2018. What is causing the rise in gun deaths?
Sure. So that's accurate, yes. The most recent data we have is from 2022, but from 2018 to 2022, it is very clear that the rates have been rising. And I think what we can point to, and this has been backed up by other studies as well, is that in that time period, we've seen a higher rate of firearm ownership. And with more firearms in society, we have always seen that raises the rates of firearm violence. There's this talking point from the NRA and the gun lobby that more guns makes us more safe. But study after study has shown that the opposite is true. So when you have more guns in society, and we saw a huge amount of gun ownership increase, especially during the early years of the pandemic, it's really no surprise that the rates of gun deaths has gone way up.
Can you put 830 Wisconsin residents killed by guns into context? And that's in the year 2022. What does that mean? How do you view that number?
Well, first of all, it's obviously way too high. You know, when we talk about the numbers from this report throughout this conversation, I want to make sure that we realize that we're talking about human lives. You know, we're talking about fathers, brothers, mothers, sisters, children. You know, we're talking about families that have been devastated. For every single life that is lost, you're talking about an entire community that's been forever changed. And what this report doesn't cover as much are firearm injuries that don't result in death. So it's just important to kind of ground that first and foremost. But to the question about how to kind of visualize this, you know, as you said, the rates have gone up each and every year since 2018. And we're talking about almost over 100 people more over that time period per year. So it's obvious, and it should be obvious to most people, that we have a serious issue in this state and in this country. We just need to make sure that we are focused on solutions.
I want to unpack solutions here as well. Your report says the rate of firearm deaths in Wisconsin now outpaces the rate of deaths in car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
What is the state doing to address firearm deaths? What are you seeing?
Frankly, the state is doing far too little to address firearm deaths. And in fact, an argument can be made that at least for many of the folks in our state legislature, they are trying to put forward bills that would increase the rates of firearm deaths. I'm talking about things like arming more people in public, arming teachers at schools, allowing for firearms to be carried on church grounds that are attached to school campuses, removing other prohibitions on safe carrying of firearms, fighting us tooth and nail on every single proposal that we've put forward. And what we know is that policies like universal background checks are widely supported. Policies like extreme risk laws, also known as red flag laws, are widely supported by Wisconsinites. And we're talking 80% approval for both of those policies. Secure storage, these types of policies are widely supported as well. But for too long, too many of the folks in power, particularly those in the state legislature, have refused to take action on these measures. And as I said, have actually put forward policies that make our state less safe rather than more safe.
You mentioned red flag laws and universal background checks. That some other states have gone ahead with those types of laws. What do you see happening around us in neighboring states?
Sure. I mean, you look at a state like Indiana, which is a conservative state, and yet they were one of the first states to implement red flag laws or extreme risk laws. And we've seen their rates of suicide go down quite a bit. It's important to keep in mind that although these policies are also often talked about in terms of how they would prevent mass shootings, for as tragic and awful and preventable as they are such a small percentage of the actual gun deaths in this country. And the vast majority are suicides. So laws like the extreme risk laws and universal background checks, those are really, really effective at reducing rates of suicide and other types of firearm violence. But suicide is really salient here to this conversation because it's a large percentage of the gun deaths in Wisconsin are from suicide. So what we've seen is that Indiana implemented that policy a few years back, and their rates of suicide have decreased. There's a lot of talk about how Illinois and Chicago have high gun firearm violence. But really, when you dig into the data, not only are the rates of firearm violence a lot smaller than people like to portray in the media, it's also the case that most of their firearms come from out of state. Most of their crime firearms are coming from places like Indiana, Iowa, and in fact, Wisconsin.
We're talking about an increase in firearm deaths in Wisconsin with Nick Matuszewski, WAVE Educational Fund Policy and Program Director, and their new report is out. It is called Gun Death in Wisconsin. Nick, we have seen some communities around Wisconsin creating positions for violence interrupters in recent years, and these outreach workers who are trying to mediate conflicts before they escalate into gun violence. Are violence interrupters making an impact?
They absolutely are, not just here, but around the country. Community violence intervention, you know, for the viewers that aren't as familiar with that, is a relatively new policy. And by new, I don't mean brand new, but, you know, within the last few decades has really gained some popularity for good reason. It's a policy that works to meet folks where they're at, you know, to go into communities that have the highest rates of gun violence and to offer opportunities for individuals caught up in cycles of violence to break out of that violence. So, you know, maybe it's educational opportunities, counseling, healthcare, showing them forms of welfare that are accessible to them that they might not know, just giving them the mentorship they need to realize that there is a life outside of violence, because we know that the vast majority of violence is constrained to a small portion of any given population. So if you can work with those that are most likely to both be the victims of violence, but also often the perpetrators of violence, you can make huge inroads in those communities and really change them for the better. And Wisconsin is kind of on the leading edge with that, too. We have more offices of violence prevention in the state of Wisconsin than any other state outside of California.
Wow.
You know, keeping in mind that California has roughly 40 million people, Wisconsin's around 6 million or so. So per capita, that's something that we're really proud of. And yeah, these offices have been shown to work. A lot of the offices here in Wisconsin are newer and are still in the early stages of getting set up, such as in Green Bay and Racine. But I have full faith that their efforts will be incredibly successful. Their leadership has done amazing work already, and we're really looking forward to seeing what they can do going forward.
Nick, earlier this year, when the U.S. Surgeon General declared that gun violence is a public health crisis in America, we talked about that moment with Dr. Megan Schultz. She's an associate professor of pediatrics at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And Schultz said that this issue touches all aspects of our community.
This is not just a policy issue for politicians to worry about. This is not just a medical issue for doctors to worry about. Parents and adults and teachers and business owners need to be talking with, honestly, everyone in the community about guns, but especially children.
How would you suggest we talk with young people, we talk with our kids about the dangers of firearms?
You know, fortunately, we don't have to, you know, figure out these solutions on our own. The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which just recently celebrated its first year anniversary, has done some amazing work alongside the Department of Education and, you know, some of the other federal departments to really put forward really strong guidelines on how to talk to children about firearms, firearm safety, what that looks like, and what it means to be responsible around firearms. And also just, you know, very, you know, it's very worth pointing out too that while we will always push for responsible gun ownership, it's also the case that we know that having a firearm makes you less likely to be safe and not more likely. So it's important to tell our children that it, you know, it's not something that's going to make you safer to be around one. You know, make sure you're staying away from firearms. If you have a friend whose family owns a firearm, you know, you don't play around with it, you know, all these different things. But the Office of Violence Prevention has done a great job. And they've also sent out letters to different schools across the country that schools should be sharing with the parents of their students about how to secure their firearms as safely as possible.
Nick, one more thing about your study. You used federal data, including FBI data. The FBI statistics don't capture all the details about gun violence in America. We know that the data is based on information that's voluntarily submitted by police departments. Is this incomplete picture a problem when trying to find solutions to gun violence across the country and here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we've seen is that researchers have been limited in studies that they can do around gun violence and the solutions. They have been discouraged at the federal level from pursuing holistic pictures and data around this horrible, horrible issue. I'm glad to say, and now this isn't enough, but I am glad to say that the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention announced just a couple weeks ago that they are partnering with the Department of Health and Human Services and others to ensure that going forward, the data is more holistic and it needs to include not just reports that are filed at the scene of a crime, but also in our hospitals and in other medical facilities across the country. And it needs to include not just deaths by firearms, but injuries by firearms. We need to do as much as we can to paint the entire picture so that folks realize just how severe this situation is. So that's one step in the right direction, but really anything we can do to promote the full capability of researchers and statisticians and others to really paint the fullest picture possible on this, we should be doing.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
That was Nick Matuszewski, Director of Policy and Program at the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Educational Fund. If you or a loved one is having thoughts of suicide, call or text 988 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, it's three digits, 988.